Welcome in, everyone. So whether you're maybe prepping for a big meeting or you're just intensely curious about where tech is heading right now, today's deep dive is definitely for you.
Yeah, we have a lot of ground to cover today.
We really do. We're looking at the May 24, 2026 edition of the Tech in Morning newsletter, and it's a massive snapshot of the industry.
It's honestly one of the most consequential newsletters I think we've seen all year.
Right. And at first glance, I mean, the stories just seem totally disconnected. We've got a leaked pair of Apple headphones, the fundamental death of traditional Google search, a rebellious university graduation, and then this profound, actually pretty disturbing ethical crisis involving a plane crash.
Yeah, it sounds like just a random tech news roundup, but the mission for this deep dive is to really connect the dots here.
Exactly.
Because they all tell one cohesive story. I mean, artificial intelligence is no longer just this, fun software experiment. It's forcing our hardware to evolve. It's literally rewriting the economy, and it's kind of violently colliding with our basic human rights.
Yeah, and it starts with the hardware, like literally the phone that you probably have sitting on the table right in front of you.
Right, the physical toll of AI is finally here.
It is. So let's look at this Apple FCC filing. The model number is A3577. It's this mysterious pair of Bluetooth over-ear headphones.
Which, is interesting because the AirPods Max 2 just dropped.
Right, back in December. So, given their usual dual-pronged strategy, this is highly likely a new Beats product, probably hitting that like $250 to $400 range to compete with Sony and Bose.
Yeah, the timing makes total sense. I mean, the Beats Studio Pro dropped way back in July 2023, and the Solo 4 was April 2024. So they are definitely due for a refresh.
But, I mean, while new headphones are fun, the real hardware earthquake in this newsletter affects millions of everyday smartphone
Oh,
users.
yeah. This is the part that's going to make a lot of people pretty angry.
Definitely. The leaks are strongly indicating that iOS 27 is officially dropping support for the entire iPhone 11 line. So the 11, the 11 Pro, the Pro Max, and also the second generation SE.
Just entirely cut off from major feature updates.
Right. And, my immediate reaction to this is just heavy skepticism because we see this exact cycle all the time.
Oh, sure. The whole planned obsolescence debate.
Exactly. Like, it feels like they're trying to run a brand new graphics heavy video game on a console from a decade ago. But I have to push back a little here. Is Apple just doing this to force people to buy that new $499 budget iPhone 17?
Well,
I mean, why can't the older chips just process the new AI tasks a little slower? Like how an old laptop just takes an extra second to load a heavy web page.
it's an entirely fair question, and people are right to be skeptical. But looking at the actual architecture, there is a legitimate hard physical wall here.
Really? A physical wall.
Yeah, it's not about Apple just wanting to sell you a new phone, though obviously they do. The common denominator for all those dropped models is the A13 Bionic chip.
Okay, so what's wrong with the A13?
Well, AI doesn't just run like normal software. Large language models don't think. They basically perform billions of simultaneous probability calculations. It's called matrix multiplication.
Right, just massive grids of math happening all at once to predict the next word.
Exactly. And to do that locally on your phone, you need a dedicated piece of hardware. On Apple Silicon, that's the neural engine.
Got it.
The problem is the A13 only has an 8-core neural engine. It maxes out at about 5 trillion operations per second.
Which sounds like a lot.
It does. But the A14 Bionic, which is the chip inside the iPhone 12 and the new minimum for iOS 27, has a 16-core neural engine. It jumps to 11 trillion operations per second.
But wait, going back to my question, if it's 5 trillion instead of 11 trillion, why not just let the AI take twice as long to load?
Because of memory bandwidth and thermal limits, when you try to force that many simultaneous calculations through a tiny 8-core pipeline, it doesn't just run slower. It completely saturates the system's RAM.
Oh, so the whole phone just freezes up.
Yes, it locks up entirely. And pushing that chip to its maximum capacity generates incredible amounts of heat. If they allowed the A13 to try this, the phone would physically overheat and your battery would go from 100 to zero in, like under an hour.
Wow. Okay, so the pipes are literally too small for the water trying to rush through them.
That's a great way to put it. You literally cannot fit the software of the future into the hardware of the past.
Man. Okay, so if you're listening to this and you have an iPhone 11, you have a pretty stark choice. Stick with iOS 26 for basic security patches, or you have to upgrade.
Right. And that's exactly why the $499 iPhone 17 is coming out. It has the A17 Pro chip, so it gets you over that hardware wall without needing a $1,000 flagship.
Okay, so AI is demanding all this massive hardware power, but why? because the way we interact with the internet itself has just fundamentally
Oh,
changed.
completely. It's a totally new information economy.
Yeah, let's pivot to Google I/O 2026. Because Google basically got up on stage and officially declared that Google search is AI search. The old 10 blue links, they're dead.
Yeah, Liz Reed at Google essentially relegated traditional search to the archives.
Which is wild. And the behavioral shift here is just staggering. They're saying over 1 billion people a month are using AI mode.
And look at the session times. That's the crazy part.
Right, so a normal search used to take, what, 45 seconds? You type a word, click a blue link, and you leave Google.
Exactly. But now, with AI mode, the average session is 3.2 minutes.
That's a 327% increase in time spent on Google.
Right. Even Stephen Levy over at Wired, who notoriously hated those clunky early AI overviews back in 2024, he just wrote a piece admitting this is basically a better user experience.
Yeah, he was saying how he can just use complex, plain language and the AI synthesizes an answer immediately. No hunting through five different websites.
Google is undeniably winning the user experience battle right now. Robbie Stein, their VP of Search, said their AI agents create a personalized website on the fly just for you.
Okay, but wait, this is where I have a massive problem. And I need to push back on this quote from Stein.
Sure, go for it.
He says they create a personalized website on the fly. But where is that information actually coming from? The AI isn't conducting original research.
Well, it's not.
Right. It's pulling from journalists and bloggers and experts. So if I'm a content creator and my work is getting scraped by Gemini so the user never has to visit my site, aren't I getting completely cannibalized by Google?
You absolutely are. That is the dark side of this. Your concern is entirely validated by the data.
Because it just feels like the publishers are getting robbed.
They are. I mean, Google insists people still click through to find quote-unquote original voices, but independent analytics firms show news sites are losing 40 to 60% of their organic traffic right now.
Wait, 60%? That's an extinction level event for a website.
It really is.
Yeah.
And it creates this terrible negative feedback loop. AI needs a thriving web of human-written content to train on, but by answering the questions directly, the AI starves those publishers of the ad revenue they need to survive. And if they go bankrupt, the AI runs out of fresh data.
Wow. And plus, the AI still isn't perfect, right?
Not at all. The Stanford AI Audit Lab data shows Gemini still hallucinates about 8% of the time.
8%.
Yeah, which sounds low until you realize 1 billion people are using it. That means tens of millions of people are getting totally fabricated information every single day.
That is incredibly bleak for anyone trying to build a business online right now. But there is this sort of startup silver lining in the newsletter.
Yes, the peak story.
Right, Peek, PEC, based in Berlin. Instead of just fighting this AI search wave, they decided to ride it. They completely shifted from SEO to GEO.
Generative engine optimization, it's a huge paradigm shift.
Okay, so explain GEO to me. Because if SEO was about getting your website to the top of Google using like keywords and backlinks, GEO is about making sure Gemini actually mentions your brand when it answers a prompt.
Exactly. When there are no links to rank, backlinks are useless. The new battleground is the AI's context window.
Okay, but how do you actually do that?
It's highly technical. It relies on something called RAG, or Retrieval Augmented Generation. Basically, Peek structures a company's data with extreme semantic clarity using explicit knowledge graphs.
So they're not just writing blog posts.
No, they're tagging data so cleanly that when the AI scrapes it, the machine instantly recognizes it as high-density factual truth. And then they position their client's brand name directly next to those facts.
Oh, I see.
So when the AI statistically predicts the next word in its answer, the math forces it to pull the brand name alongside the fact. They are literally optimizing for machine ingestion, not human readability.
That is just brilliant. They're making the data so easy to read that the AI is just lazy and prefers it.
Pretty much it.
And the culture at Peek is wild too. The CEO, Marius Miners, used to be a top 100 League of Legends player.
Right, he brought that crazy esports hyper-competitive vibe into a tech startup.
Yeah, like they have totally transparent revenue tracking for all employees, which is super rare in Europe. And they grew from $4 million to over $10 million in annual recurring revenue in just 6 months.
And don't forget the guerrilla marketing. They literally buy billboards right outside rival tech companies in Berlin just to poach their engineers.
That is so aggressive. But I guess it shows that if you can adapt to this new AI economy, there's a lot of money to be made.
Sure, but there's a catch there.
What's that?
Startups like Peek are nimble. They have the venture capital to adapt, but the average everyday worker, they cannot pivot that quickly.
Right. The friction is spilling out into the real world.
Exactly.
Which brings us to this fascinating generational divide. The newsletter takes us to the University of Arizona graduation. Former Google CEO Eric Schmidt was giving the commencement address.
This was a really tense moment.
It was. So he's pitching AI as this massive, brilliant technological transformation.
Mm-hmm.
And the graduating students just loudly and overwhelmingly started booing him.
Just a completely visceral public rejection of Silicon Valley on stage.
Right. And, you know, we need to look at this totally impartially. We are not taking sides here, but we have two very different realities colliding.
Oh, absolutely.
Silicon Valley views AI as this amazing productivity tool, right? The adaptable will thrive. But these graduating students, they're looking at thousands of monthly layoffs across multiple industries.
They're looking at a completely different set of incentives.
Exactly. So who holds the right perspective here when both sides have completely different stakes in the game?
Well, objectively, both are acting rationally based on their own experiences. For tech executives like Schmidt, history is just a series of disruptions, like the assembly line or the internet, that eventually lead to progress.
Sure, the whole macro view.
Right. But for Gen Z, they are dealing with massive student debt, insane housing costs, and now the threat of automation. To them, the whole move fast and break things ethos isn't innovation. It's a direct threat to their livelihood.
Wow, yeah. If you're breaking the entry-level job market, you're breaking their ability to survive.
Precisely. Schmidt wasn't wrong about the tech itself, but it was a massive failure of empathy. You can't map 2010's tech optimism onto the economic anxiety of 2026.
No, you really can't.
And honestly, we can expect this to lead to some major political pushback. We're going to see demands for universal basic income and heavy, heavy regulations.
Because things are just moving too fast.
Exactly.
And speaking of moving too fast, it's not just jobs getting broken. What happens when tech companies and internet users move so fast that they violate the actual boundaries of life and death?
Yeah, this last story is, it's incredibly dark.
It is the most disturbing story in the whole newsletter. We have to talk about UPS Flight 2976. This was a fatal plane crash back in 2025.
Just a terrible tragedy.
Right. And by law, the NTSB is strictly prohibited from releasing the actual cockpit audio. They have to protect the dignity of the pilots and their families. So instead, they released a spectrogram.
Right. For people who don't know, a spectrogram is just a visual, mathematical representation of sound frequencies. It looks like a graph.
A silent picture of a graph. And this is just mind-blowing to me. It's like taking a barcode from a grocery store and somehow figuring out the exact recipe of the cake it was scanned from.
That's a perfect analogy.
Because a YouTuber, Scott Manley, pointed out that the data was vulnerable, and then anonymous users actually took that silent picture and used AI tools, specifically codecs, to turn that image back into the actual voices of the deceased pilots.
Yeah, they reverse engineered the voices, and technically, it is an absolute marvel of signal processing.
But wait, really? How does codecs, which writes computer code, turn a picture into a voice?
Because to the computer, it's all just math. The visual spectrogram is made using a Fourier transform. These users fed the image into an AI vision model to extract the numeric values of every single pixel.
Okay.
And then they had codecs write highly complex Python scripts to invert the math. The AI reassembled the exact acoustic signatures from the visual data. It didn't invent the voices, it reconstructed them mathematically.
That is chilling. The ethical implications are a nightmare.
Oh, totally. The reconstructed audio started circulating online. The psychological harm to the victims' families is unimaginable.
The NTSB was completely blindsided, right? They had to lock down their whole docket system.
Yeah, they blocked public access entirely for a while because they realized they had a massive vulnerability. It introduces this brand new legal frontier that we are calling digital death rights.
Digital death rights.
Right, because the current law protects physical audio tapes. But no lawmaker ever anticipated that a picture of a tape could be turned back into audio by AI.
So there's just a huge blind spot in the law.
Exactly. Should a dead person's voice be protected, like intellectual property? Can families control digital representations of their loved ones? Right now, there is zero legal precedent stopping this.
Man. So, to kind of sum all this up, the through line today is so clear. We went from the Apple A13 chip basically dying out to make room for AI processing,
yep,
to the death of traditional search and websites losing half their traffic, to Gen Z's economic fears, and finally to the literal resurrection of voices from the grave.
It's all the same issue. Technology is moving much, much faster than our laws, our economy, and our ethics.
We are definitely building the airplane while we're in free fall.
We are. And, you know, to leave you with a final thought, we should go back to Eric Schmidt's speech.
The one where he got booed.
Right. Despite the booing, he told the students, the question is whether you will have shaped artificial intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at the forced hardware upgrades, the changing internet, and these terrifying legal gray areas,
mm-hmm.
you really have to ask yourself, are we shaping AI, or has AI already begun shaping us?
Wow. Are we shaping it, or is it shaping us? That is definitely something to chew on. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive today. Keep questioning the information around you, and we'll catch you next time.